Danton won't even know what he's doing. Meaning we got some halfwit out there trying to flood the streets with fentanyl.
What was Mr. Rushton's part in all of this?
Anything I need, he arranges it.
David Rushton's body was discovered in his office.
Oh, my God. Three dead. Frank Brandon, Danny Petrozza, and now...
David Rushton. All of them linked by fentanyl, either dead by it or dealing it.
If that stuff gets out there on the market, it'll be like genocide on the streets. Users dying like that.
Does the name Alexander Fitzpatrick mean anything to you?
Well, in the 80s, Miami and the coke trade was owned by Fitzpatrick. Upper middle class English gentleman taking on the colonials.
Do you know this man, Alexander Fitzpatrick?
Hold it there. Is that him? Is that Fitzpatrick? You were married to one of the biggest drug dealers the world has ever known.
One more time. Where is he?
I don't know.
Julie is in an interview room with her lawyer.
It's our bite, Mr. Hall.
Travis enters wearing a serious expression and holding a cup of tea.
You might like a cup of tea.
Mrs. Brandon and I have discussed the situation.
The lawyer smiles smugly as Travis sits down. Travis rests her chin on her hands. Julia blinks and struggles for words.
I want to tell you the truth.
Above suspicion, deadly intent. Travis stares at Julia. Julia puts her hand over her mouth and closes her eyes.
I obviously had some idea my ex-husband was involved in something illegal. But I truthfully only ever knew him as Anthony Collingwood.
She eyes Travis desperately.
When was the last time you saw him?
About 12 months ago.
Here in England?
Yes. But he was only here for a short time because he had a business deal in Mexico or somewhere. He needed cash released. A lot of it.
Wait, okay, so... this was a year ago. You haven't seen him since?
No. He wanted to see our son William, and then he left.
You need a new name, a new identity. William, too. I'll find some patsy, get him to marry you. Keep you hidden, keep you safe.
I'm not going to marry some patsy, as you call it.
You'll do as you're told. I want some peace, and I need the finances to make sure I get it.
How much is this deal worth? By this time, I was sick to death of it all. Sick to death of being told what I could or couldn't do. And then I got a call from my sister.
Helga.
A grim-faced Langton enters the room.
Please continue, Julia.
Travis glances at Langton, who makes his way to her.
Ever since I had William, she was difficult. She's unable to have children. And she's jealous. Always envious of me. I don't hear from her for years, and then she was ringing me up, giving me orders. Wanted to know if I'd done what I'd been told to do.
Julia! Gider ikke snakke mere med dig!
I was so angry. I went to David for help. It was his idea. He arranged for all of the money to be transferred to the accounts held in my name so that my husband couldn't get access to it.
Julia glances down.
David said that if Anthony would try to get back into the UK, he would tip off the police.
But he did come back, didn't he?
It was David's own fault. I warned him to transfer the money back. If he'd done that, he'd still be alive. None of this is my fault.
And David Rushton murdered, Frank Brandon murdered. It's not your fault.
Well, Frank was going to be well paid, and he was supposed to look after me. I had to marry him. I had to. But I really hated him coming near me, the stench of his aftershave. David arranged the life insurance. He said it was for Frank's protection. Well, by rights, it's mine now, isn't it? I'm his widow.
Travis glances at Langton.
Take her out of here.
Julia glares at him.
You can think what you like, but I was only 15 when Anthony Collingwood took over my life. And he's a very powerful and controlling man. You have no idea who you're dealing with.
His brow furrowed, he looks away. Julia gets up and heads out, followed by her lawyer. Travis opens her mouth to speak and falters.
You're letting her go?
She has no idea what a powerful and controlling man I am. Put a tail on her, and then get the local plods out to pick up Helga Nolan. You follow up on Julius Danton.
They let me go. Yes, I said what you told me to, more or less, with a few tears thrown in. They told me about David. He was going to release the money. There was no need...
Outside and on her phone.
Yes.
She gets in her car.
I'm going to collect him now.
Sitting in the driver's seat of her convertible, Julia dials on her phone. She holds the phone up to her ear.
This is William Collingwood's mother. We have a family emergency, and I'm afraid I will need to take William out of school. Yes. Thank you.
Travis is at Sadie Danton's house.
Mrs. Danton, we're very concerned about your husband. You said that he was coming into the station.
Yes, I was telling the truth. When I saw it in all the papers, I knew how serious it was. I'm sorry. When you were here before, I should have told you. But he begged me not to.
He was here?
You're not going to arrest me, are you? Please.
Oh, Sadie, that was a stupid thing to do.
I tried to get him to tell me what was going on. I tried. But he told me he was going to sort it all out.
What did he tell you?
Sadie turns away.
Sadie, your husband's fingerprints are all over a car with a dead body in the boot.
Jules isn't a murderer. He told me his van had broken down. He was trying to get a lift home when he came across this car and the keys were still in the ignition.
Julia Stanton climbs inside the car.
Never one to miss an opportunity, our Jules.
What did he do with the boxes?
Of fentanyl.
I don't know. Left them in the car, I think.
He hides them inside.
Finding that body really freaked him out. He was in a terrible state when he came home. He just dumped the car.
Where is he now?
I don't know. Honestly, he said he was going to give himself up.
If he contacts you again, you have to tell us, okay? We need to talk to him.
I will. I'm sorry.
Travis, who's crouching, stands, sighs, and heads off. Julia heads down a set of stairs and onto the street.
This is Sierra Uniform 1-4. Eyeball on suspect leaving premises with suitcase. Over.
Julia, who wears a smart black dress and high heels, carries a suitcase over to her convertible and puts it in the boot at the front of the car, then heads to the driver's seat. Across the road, men in suits and wearing sunglasses and sitting in a 4x4 are watching her.
Jeep PNC on black Range Rover, index Charlie Alpha 5-1, whiskey X-ray, X-ray.
Can you keep the noise down, for Christ's sake? Sierra Uniform 1-4, keep your distance. Maintain eyeball contact with both vehicles.
Target vehicle is now building up speed. Request uniform
assistance for hard stop.
The unmarked police car follows Julia in the 4x4. The 4x4 pulls up alongside Julia. On the side facing her, the windows are lowered. A man in the back seat starts to shout.
Hey, you!
Julia glances at them anxiously, then pulls out in front.
Accelerating, 75, 80.
In the office at the station, Travis and Langton listen. Julia speeds down a slope, followed closely by the Range Rover and the police car. The police car rattles around. Julia veers left abruptly.
Suspect veering off the road.
Travis raises a brow.
We've lost eyeball with target.
Julia's racing along a track through a wood, sunlight filtering down through the trees. She glances behind her as she takes a corner. The Range Rover is just behind her. She drives through a puddle. The water splashes onto her pursuers. The trees whiz by in flashes. The Range Rover nudges closer and closer until the vehicles are bumper to bumper. Julia's eyes widen as the Range Rover hits her and her small car goes flying off the track. It turns over in the air, crashes into branches, and plummets to the ground. Several trees are flattened in its wake. One of the wheels spins in the air. In the woods, the car lies upturned, a wreck. Langton stands by it, studying it. He wears latex gloves. There are fire officers around the wreck and a fire engine parked nearby. There are several pairs of shoes and some clothes scattered on the ground. Travis, in a suit, walks onto the scene, pulling on a pair of latex gloves.
Well, no, don't. Her head is practically severed.
Oh, my God.
She crouches down by the body.
I can't believe it.
Travis finds something in Julia's suitcase.
Did she have the drugs on her?
No, I think she just got caught in the crossfire.
Passports?
Travis studies the passports.
Where the hell was she going?
Langton trudges along the track towards the fire engine and a police car parked next to it. He studies his mobile phone.
Joe, I need access to Julia Bander's apartment.
A police officer peers through a window at Damien Nolan.
Mr. Nolan!
He lies back on the sofa out of view.
Mr. Nolan!
He dials on his phone. Helga takes her mobile out of her handbag and checks it. She puts on her glasses and peers at the display, then puts it back in her bag. Langton goes into a house. There's hardly any furniture and several cardboard boxes are stacked up around the room. Langton stands in an arch that leads into a through room and surveys its contents. He gazes through another doorway, then turns to glance along the hallway. Langton creeps down the hallway, staring ahead. At the end of the hallway is a sitting room where Helga is sorting through belongings in a rush.
Hello, Mrs. Nolan.
What are you doing here?
What exactly are you looking for?
Nothing. I am not... What do you want?
Could you just stop that, please?
My sister asked me to collect some of her papers, so...
Your sister... is dead, Mrs. Nolan.
Helga turns and gawps at Langton.
She was involved in a fatal car accident.
Her mouth opens and closes as she searches for words.
Was she alone?
Yes.
Helga hangs her head, then puts a hand to her head, sweeping her fringe back off her face, then putting her hand over her mouth. Shakily, she picks up her coat, then sags against a box and swallows. Langton picks up her coat and holds it up for her to put on. She turns and he pulls it over her shoulders. She heads out. At the Nolan farm, Travis and several uniformed officers head onto the premises.
I hope, Detective Travis, you have search warrants this time.
We have warrants, Mr. Nolan.
What are you all looking for?
Where's your wife?
No idea. Shopping, visiting friends.
Do you have a good relationship with your wife, Mr. Nolan?
Do I have a good relationship with my wife? Do you want explicit details? Not that I think it's any of your business. But yes, in actual fact, I have a very good and very loving relationship. A very understanding one. I'm away for lengthy periods.
Leaving her alone to cook her jam.
Sarcasm doesn't become you.
Where were you last Saturday evening?
He frowns.
Harrogate. I was giving a lecture.
Is there someone that can confirm that?
Yes, my colleague, Dr. Angela Velodia. We were together all night.
He raises his brows.
Oh, I see.
I have an appointment. I'd really like to go, and you've got everything you came for.
Well, not exactly. Can you wait?
How long?
I'll let you know when you can go.
Travis marches off. Inside.
Well, Damien Nolan's got a nice bit of pocket money coming in.
What's that?
$5,000 every month. I doubt it. That's from selling his wife's jam.
I can verify all the deposits. I do get fees for my lectures and an allowance for my mother to pay for her needs. Now, I really do have an appointment. I'm happy to leave you with the officers to continue doing whatever is necessary.
All right, you can go, but we're going to need all these statements. You can't leave the country.
I really do have a booking lecture tour.
Damien heads out, leaving them with a muddle of his papers on the table. In a barn...
The big bins over there have been set alight. Clothes, bed linen, more clothes.
In a black sack.
A very fetching anorak. Looks like this Patrick made himself at home.
Travis inspects the coat. In a lab.
Pete.
What I have for you, the eye Travis, deserves a dinner date, and you pick up the tab. One, the mud from the 4x4 wheel arches and the sample you brought in from the farm are a match. So far, so good?
Yeah, well, considering that's where we found Danton's van, it's to be expected, Pete.
You drive a hard bargain. So, two. The DNA profile for your Alexander Fitzpatrick is a match for not only the blood found on Petrozzo's car, but three, it's also a match for the third bullet found at the drug squat.
So it was Fitzpatrick with Brandon?
Chinese or Indian?
Langton bursts in.
Sir, we've got a match on the DNA.
Well, yes, I know. I've been over with tech support. Take a look at this from Rushton's office. They're not brilliant, but it's Alexander Fitzpatrick.
He looks a little bit young compared to the photo at Julia's.
Well, that's him all the same. That's the best we can get.
Tried facial biometrics.
Facial what?
Facial biometrics. Capturing information about the shape of the face and comparing contours of eye sockets, line of the chin,
Pete,
bone structure.
Let's talk more action. Just do it and send us the results. In the meantime, I've sent this out to every port, airport, station, hotel. I've released it to the press. We're going to have this bastard's face front page.
Langton and Travis leave. Pete gazes at the CCTV still they left.
We're nearly there, Travis. We're bloody close.
They hurry up steps in the station.
Sir, I did check his identification. FBI working with the fraud squad.
Federal agent Joseph Marshall.
Langton eyes him.
You must be DCS Langton. I was just explaining to your team that it appears we've trampled on the same turf.
He turns to Travis.
Anna, isn't it? Jack Travis's daughter.
Yes, that's right.
We've been investigating serious fraud against David Rushton. We had him earmarked for a covert operation.
Joan, would you organize some coffee in my office, please?
Well, actually, I was just leaving. Joan was taking me back to reception.
No, actually, we're investigating David Rushton's murder. Joan, coffee, please, after you.
Marshall heads upstairs, followed by the others. In Langton's office.
David Rushton was a real piece of work. He was moving his clients' money around like a game of Monopoly. What he does is wires the cash into an offshore account, somewhere with no tax on business or investment income and strict secrecy laws. Cayman Islands, the Channel Islands, Bermuda, Luxembourg, etc. Then, a US front company take out a loan, say from your Cayman Island bank. If the FBI asks where the millions of dollars came from, the fraudster says, truthfully, that it's a bank loan. He even has the legal documents to prove it. The money's not taxable. Are you with me? It's a loan when you pay back the interest.
I know. That's where you pay it to yourself and deduct it as a business expense.
Exactly. He had a typical money laundering scenario. Consolidating funds via wire transactions, say, to Tampa, Florida. Then he'd wire the money to a London bank, convert the two certificates of deposit, use them as collateral for a loan from a bank in the Cayman Islands, then transfer the loan proceeds right back to the front company in Tampa. Result? Bloody confusing trail.
God, I'll say.
Travis and Langton exchange glances.
And that's why you're at Rushton's office.
Yes. I went undercover to ask him if he could handle a considerable amount. $3 million. I made it clear the money wasn't clean. I concocted a story about a rock concert ticket scam. He was not a walkover. He asked a lot of questions.
So why'd you turn the camera?
I was acting a part. I said I didn't want the meeting recorded, so I moved it.
Langton held up the CCTV still.
So you must have been the last person to see him alive.
That's the risk he took with the game he was playing. He dealt with some very ruthless people.
In the lab, Pete compares the still of Marshall with the facial features of Fitzpatrick. No matches found.
And that's why I'm here. You see, with fraud investigation, evidence always takes months, if not years, to collate. If this goes public, all that work will be for nothing. Rushton wasn't the only name involved in this. My investigation goes deep. You have no idea what you're dealing with, James.
Marshall looks down and smiles smugly.
Now, I must go and sort this out with my team. Huh. I know you're accessing his computer and his files. I'll expect you to hand them over to Fraud Squad. When you're finished with them, of course.
Marshall stands and offers his hand to Langton, who shakes it. Marshall smiles and heads out, leaving Langton at his desk, staring into the distance thoughtfully. Travis opens the door for Marshall and follows him out. In the lab, Pete's still comparing the pictures of Marshall and Fitzpatrick. He gets a 98.5 positive match. He hurries out of the lab. Marshall thanks Joan on his way out.
Thank you for your help.
In Langton's office.
When you showed me that photo, I wasn't sure it was the same guy in the photo at Julia's house.
The guy in the photo looked older.
His brow furrowed, Langton's eyes dart about.
Did you get a look at his shoes?
She shakes her head.
No.
You didn't notice anything about them? Something that wasn't quite right?
No.
They were handmade shoes, Travis. This Marshall, who brought him into the incident room?
I did. They called him up from reception, he showed me his ID, and then he asked who was in charge of the Rushton investigation.
Paul, get onto the fraud squad, see what they know about him.
Yes, boss.
What else did he ask about?
Well, when I said that you weren't here, he asked when we would be finished with the documents from Rushton.
Yeah, but what was he doing? I mean, where was he standing? Was he by your desk or what?
Well, he stood by my desk, then he went over to the board.
What was he looking at?
I'm calling about federal agent
Joseph. I don't know. The details about Rushton, I think. I thought it was permissible.
Are you sure?
Yeah, and then what?
And then you came in.
Langton frowns.
Sir, fraud squad have never heard of a federal agent Joseph Marshall.
And who the fuck was that?
Hello.
Pete arrives at the incident room. He and Langton at a computer.
After scanning the two facial images, the old FBI mugshot and the image from the CCTV camera, now, there is evidence of extensive facial surgery on the second image. Chin, nose, cheek implant.
Meaning what?
Meaning you can never alter the size of the skull. So I can conclude that they are, in fact, one and the same person. One man, two faces.
And three dead bodies.
Travis and the rest of the team are gathered in the incident room. Everyone looks round as Langton enters, his face like thunder.
I don't want any of this leaving this room. That understood?
Travis eyes him gravely as he stands in front of the incident board. Joan watches nervously.
What was he after?
Langton scrutinizes the incident board with the photos of the victims and all the people involved in the crime. He studies a photo of David Rushton, then Julius Danton. He stares down, grim-faced, all eyes on him. He takes a sheet of paper from a folder underneath the board that has Julius Danton's photo on it.
Julius Danton. That's why Fitzpatrick risked coming here, to get Danton's address. Danton's got the bloody fentanyl!
Langton kicks a wheelie chair across the room. Two officers move out of the way. Joan purses her lips, tense. The statue of a woman lies in a skip. By the skip, Andre is scrubbing the banister to the stairs outside the Danton house. Langton and Travis pull up.
Out of the way, son.
She's not here. She went with the police officer.
Which police officer?
The photo of Fitzpatrick.
Is it him?
I think so. A tall guy.
Langton and Travis speed along a dusty track by the river. They get out under a tall brick archway. A man leads them through the archway, which looks like the facade of a wharf that is no longer there. They pass several metal storage containers.
Container number 14, yeah?
The man, who's just wearing a pair of denim shorts and desert boots, leads them up a set of stairs, along a scaffold walkway, and opens the door of a container for them. The container is full of furniture, a grandfather clock and lots of antique lampshades. Travis and Langton rush in and glance about. Langton looks in a box, then shifts it to look behind it. A flashback of Julius Danton stashing the fentanyl in the box that Langton just looked in. Travis eyes Langton with worry.
We got this wrong.
Looks like it's just full of bloody junk.
Are you in here,
Sadie? Danton.
Oi!
Danton bolts, Langton and Travis leg it after him.
I know you bloody dumps! Where are they?
Langton punches him.
Take it easy.
The fentanyl! Speak up or I'll split your bloody skull open! Come on!
James.
You little shit, we've got enough of this!
James, look!
They look over the scaffold.
You're too late.
Langton yanks Danton to have a look.
I want to see your wife.
Sadie's corpse below.
Sadie.
Huh?
Sadie.
Her arms and legs are sprawled out at awkward angles.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Sadie.
Langton drags Danton back from the edge of the scaffold walkway. in a cell.
Look, I just want to get this over and done with, right? My van had broken down, not quite sure where I was. Then I saw this 4x4. The door was open, keys in the ignition. Wish to God I hadn't. I drove it back to London.
Langton grabs Danton's arm. He rolls up Danton's shirt sleeve to reveal track marks.
You want us to arrange a solicitor?
No. I want to explain. Because on the back seat, on the floor, there were these boxes. I thought they were cartons of cigarettes, yeah? And I drove them to my storage place, left them there. And then I opened the boot. Thought there might be more.
And there was this dead man.
I swear to God I was gonna come in. But then I started drinking. I'm sorry, I'm so sorry.
So you should be. Your wife.
Is she going to be all right? I need to see her.
Danton stares up at Langton. Langton strolls through a corridor in the station.
Sorry, sir.
What is it? She's not doing so well. The chemo's really taking its toll. She's like losing all her hair and it keeps going. Oh, sorry, Mike. But go home. And be with her. That's your priority.
He puts a hand on Lewis's shoulder.
Yeah, you can take as long as you need.
I'm sorry.
Lewis nods.
Gone. Thank you.
Yeah.
Langton heads off. Lewis just stands there. Langton sits in his office.
Great, well, I'm off out of here now.
Yeah. You have any idea what this is going to do to my career?
He grins wryly.
Let me guess, sir. We hear the bastard here in my office. I'll be a laughing stock.
Travis steps over, fidgeting nervously.
Well, photo of him's out. Everyone's on high alert.
And he got the fentanyl back.
We'll find him.
Won't bode well for you either. Oh, Mike.
Irritated, Travis looks down.
Yeah, well, Mike hasn't exactly been a strong presence lately, has he? I don't think he's done a full day's work since this case started.
He needed time off.
He's been missing things, sir. I'm sorry.
Just don't, Travis. His wife is sick.
She mouths, what?
I knew she was ill, but I thought she was in remission.
She was. She's back on the chemo. And it's not looking good.
Oh, I didn't know.
She closes her eyes and rubs between her brows. Langton takes something from his pocket.
I'm going to show you something.
He takes a photo from his wallet. It's of a dark-haired woman of about 30.
This is my first wife, Ellen. She kissed me goodbye at 8 o'clock one morning. She went into work at the lab. I came into the station. At 9:30, I got a call to say she was dead. Brain tumor. No headaches, no warning. And at 10:30, I watched them lift the sheet from her face.
He turns his gaze to Travis, who blinks sadly.
So sorry.
She looks tearful.
Maybe you should go home.
Have a drink with me.
Langton rubs her arm.
Has it ever occurred to you why we never worked together since the Red Dahlia case? It's not because I haven't thought of you.
Travis closes her eyes.
Because I have.
Travis smiles fondly, then rises to her feet.
Good night, sir.
She pauses by him. He has her hand in his. He holds onto it as she walks away until eventually she pulls it free. She heads out, looking back at him for a moment. day, in a corridor at the police station.
She's not going to say anything until the solicitor's here.
How'd she react?
I need time to confer with Mrs. Nolan first.
Of course, as she's the one who's been hiding Fitzpatrick. Now, he's already killed three people that we know about, and if he gets his way, there'll be thousands more dropping dead.
I'll speak with her.
He heads off.
What about the husband, Damien?
Apparently, he still gets an allowance from his mother. Payments for lectures, but there's no big deposits in his bank accounts. How'd you get on with Julius Danton?
No, he's still in the cells, coming down from whatever he was on.
Can you tell you how much fentanyl he'd stashed?
Well, he claims there were over a dozen boxes. Now, how much are those worth each? I don't know, 3-4 million?
Travis is in the station canteen. She gazes over her shoulder at Lewis, who is sitting at a table eating alone. She picks up 2 cups of tea and heads over to him.
All right.
One of those for me.
No, Langton. We're just about to start on Helga Nolan's interrogation.
And you're taking it with him?
She frowns.
Well, maybe he didn't know you were here.
Lewis looks down at his food.
Look, I don't want you to feel like I'm undermining you.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does. Look, you and I got off on the wrong foot, and I know that you have a personal problem that you're dealing with.
It's not easy. I'm dealing with it.
Travis stares at him.
I am dealing with it.
Right, well, if there's anything you need, I mean, if there's anything I can do...
Nobody can. You better go, he hates his coffee cold.
Travis nods awkwardly, then heads off. Lewis carries on eating his food. In an interview room.
I admit I did take in Alexander. But I want you to know that my husband wasn't aware of it. He was away on his book tour.
And he was never privy to the fact that you were harboring one of the world's most wanted criminals.
If that's how you want to describe him.
How would you describe your husband, Damien?
My husband? He was always second best.
So, previous to this, when was the last time you actually saw or had been in contact with Fitzpatrick?
About a year ago. He knew David Ruston was stealing from him. Julia too, probably. Don't forget he was under pressure himself, of course. His own life was in danger.
From who?
When you are as powerful as Alexander, you attract powerful enemies. He had apparently upset some of his partners in Colombia. They felt they were owed money.
This could have come in.
You have a gun for Till.
Okay.
And they thought your sister Julia had it?
Possibly. Maybe they thought by threatening Julia they could get to Alexander.
Flashback, Fitzpatrick gets out of the vehicle.
He had surgery. I hardly recognized him.
Helga rushes out to meet him.
Oh, what have you got to
say? I took him in because his wound turned septic. He had a high fever. He needed my help and I was proud to give it to him. To begin with, I hit him in the hen house.
We know where he was hiding, Mrs. Nolan. We want to know where he is now.
You will never catch him, you know. He's been 10 steps ahead of you the whole time. What is a job to you is a game to him.
So you went to all these lengths to protect this man. And what? He just buggers off?
Why did you do it? What did he promise you? Cut of the drugs he was trying to offload?
I never took anything from Alexander, but... Julia did, scrounging for every penny.
Your own sister was virtually decapitated.
He had nothing to do with that.
Travis stares at her coldly.
Where was Julia driving to?
Helga glares at her.
She was going to meet him, wasn't she?
Langton shifts.
No.
She was planning on being with him again.
That is not true.
She told us how jealous you were of her relationship. How she had his son, how you were unable to have kids.
What Julia probably failed to mention was... that I was with him long before she ever met him. I brought her to Cannes. I invited her to stay on the boat.
So this baby sister turns up, just a teenager. How much older are you? Julia, beautiful, young, innocent. What did she do? Tempt away her big sister's lover, Fitzpatrick, dumped you for her.
That is not true. I was never dumped, as you crudely put it. I
I had miscarried his child for the second time. He paid for Julia to come out and look after me.
She wipes away a tear.
When she saw all the luxury on offer, she wanted my life. I gave him up.
She nods.
But it broke my heart.
Why don't you just start telling us the truth? Now, why would you protect him? He's trying to flood this country with drugs, never mind killing anyone who stands in his way.
Julia's taken everything from you. And now he's got everything. He's got the drugs, he's got the money. He didn't want you, Helga. He wanted the mother of his child.
It's not true. It's not true.
He's used you. What a fool you are. A foolish, desperate woman.
Two passports.
Yeah. Look, his son. That's what you were looking for in Julia's flat, isn't it? Right? Because he'd promised you the same deal, hadn't he? Run off into the sunset together. Well, he lied to you. Every which way Fitzpatrick lied to you. And you're going to have a very long time to think about how you've been used.
Who's going to see me? Are you charging my client?
What, too damned right I am. Withholding evidence and harboring a wanted criminal.
Helga weeps.
She might receive a more lenient sentence if she's prepared to disclose his whereabouts.
Helga glances at her lawyer, who nods.
I was to meet him at St. Pancras Station in half an hour. But if it's true what you just say, he won't be there.
Langton and Travis rush out. Travis and Langton march through St. Pancras Station. A man in a hat descends in a glass lift as Travis and Langton run past. Travis and Langton rush into the CCTV control room.
Can you play the tape, love? Which screen?
That one.
They spot the tall man in a wide-brimmed hat stalking along a corridor.
What do you think? Is it him?
Could be.
There are two uniformed officers in the station. Travis and Langton watch on the CCTV as the man travels down on an escalator.
Gov.
Go ahead.
Suspect is on the move. Repeat, suspect is on the move. Awaiting instruction. Over.
Yeah, just hang on.
The man walks down a corridor with his head bowed.
Not exactly trying to hide, is he? We can't let him get on that train. Right, wait for my signal. Suspect could be armed. He's extremely dangerous, but steady. There's a station full of people here. Get down there.
Travis dashes off. The man climbs a set of steps. He has a briefcase in one hand and a ticket and a passport in the other. He nears the platforms as Travis sprints along nearby, followed by several police officers in uniform. A guy jumps as an armed officer barges past.
Stay where you are! Come on, pull up now!
An officer wrestles the guy to the ground.
You!
What the hell is this?
What are you doing here? Hey, stand down! Stand down!
What do you think? I'm on the way to Bruges. Book tour, remember?
Very bloody convenient. Your wife is currently under arrest at the station. You're going to be joining her.
My wife? Why on earth are you holding my wife? What's she supposed to have done? I mean, this is an outrage!
Is it? Why are you still protecting a woman who thinks you're second best?
Yes, well, sadly, I always was. I gave up trying to compete with my big brother. You haven't been doing your homework, have you, detectives? I was born Damien Fitzpatrick. Because of the notoriety surrounding Alexander, my mother thought it would be beneficial to use her maiden name, Nolan. Cuff him.
Damien's wrists are cuffed.
What are you charging me with? Loitering?
Langton nods and Damien is taken away by another police officer. Langton fumes.
Helga bloody lied for Fitzpatrick right up to the end. How do you get love like that?
We had him, sir, and we've lost him. He's got his money, he's got his drugs.
He didn't give a shit about any of them. Julia, Helga, not even his own brother.
He got everything he came for. Except his son.
They exchange glances. A flashback. William, Fitzpatrick's son, a boy of around 12, plays keepy-uppies with a football in a garden.
Can you describe him?
At the station, Baroli's on the phone.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. I really appreciate your help. Sir, William Collingwood was collected from school 15 minutes ago in a taxi by his father.
Shit! Find out where it was going.
Joel, get the taxi firm.
I'll call you back.
A car drives through a field in which lots of light aircraft are parked.
Air traffic control say he's on runway 3.
It's Langton and Travis. The car speeds past a row of planes. Langton peers through the windscreen intently. There's a blue flashing light on top of their unmarked car.
There he is.
Travis turns sharply and races towards an aircraft moving across the field, ready to take off.
Get on the runway!
You're not gonna get on the runway!
Get on the runway!
Stop!
Fucking ram him! Ram him! Ram that fucking thing!
What is this fucking child on board? Ow! What are you
doing?
Langton grabs the wheel.
Jesus Christ!
Travis stops the car and gets out. She runs over to Langton. Travis fights to hold Langton back, but he breaks free and runs after the plane, which has G-Oddo emblazoned on its side. Langton chases the plane. Inside, Fitzpatrick and William spot him. Travis stumbles as she takes off her high-heeled shoes, but picks herself up again and sprints after Langton, her shoes in her hands. Langton is just behind the wing of the plane. Fitzpatrick smiles smugly as the plane pulls away from Langton. William does the same. Langton rapidly loses ground as the plane speeds up and finally leaves the ground. It heads off, over green trees, into a bright and cloudy sky. Travis runs after Langton, who slows down to a defeated halt and bends over double. He watches the plane fly away. Travis purposely runs into him and shoves him.
You lost your mind!
That's my career up there, Spike. What do I bloody care?
Gasping for breath, she glowers at him.
I care. I care.
Langton is already a short distance away, marching towards the car. Travis's face crumples and she hangs her head. She glances over at Langton, then up into the sky at the plane. She wipes tears from her cheeks. She heads over the grass to the car. She opens the driver's seat door and gets in. Langton's already in the passenger seat, scowling angrily. Travis hits the roof of the car.
Sorry, I shouldn't have shouted like that. I lost it. You were right, you did right.
The plane, I saw it. In a photograph at the farm. Goddo.
What are you talking about?
It was in a photo frame. I dropped it and I broke the glass.
Intruders aren't what they used to be.
Goddo, do you think that means? No, someone he was waiting for?
Oh, dear God.
This is my fault.
Was it written up on the board? I mean, did you actually ever tell anyone about it?
She shakes her head ruefully.
Listen to me. I'm going to be up for commander, right? So I'm saving my reputation. I've worked too long and too hard to get where I am, right? To get that promotion, I have to be above suspicion. So you forget about this. You bury it. Just like we bury the fact that Fitzpatrick made fools of us all down at the station. Do you understand?
She nods and narrows her eyes pensively.
Well, at least he took the drugs with him. They're not on our streets now. Someone else's problem now, right?
Now you think it's straight.
Travis smiles sadly. Langton gets out of the car as three police cars with flashing lights drive over the field towards them. They come to a halt and officers get out. Travis watches tearfully as Langton talks to Lewis and Baroli.
I can't grab it, man. Says there's a child on board.
Langton glances back at Travis.
She has no idea what a powerful and controlling man I am.
Tears drip slowly from the corners of Travis's clear green eyes. ITFC audio description.